Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Okay, open your Bibles up to the book of Judges, and while you're turning there, I have gone to great expense tonight for little prizes. So I want to know, I don't want you to look at your sheet. All right, look up here at me. I want to see the whites of your eyes right now. Okay? Now, I want to ask you a question. When I say a word, I want you to associate that word with a book of the Bible. And if you do, you might get... John, quit looking at your sheet, man. I'm just kidding. If you do, it's not enough time to look it up on Google, brother. And if you're answering email, I'm kidding you, John. Okay, here we go. The sign on the cross. Okay, here we go. There you go, right there. Look at there. I mean, I'm telling you, chewing gum in church, you people are amazing. Okay, the thought bubble. There you go. Now, you know, let me just ask this. This is for no prize. Why is it the thought bubble? Does anybody know? Why is that the object for Philippians? Does anybody know? Okay. Wow. This guy right here. Where's all my gum? Here, you get that. Give me five right here, Watson. He said because joy is... And I'm not sure, what was it? Mostly. I was going to say predominantly. He didn't say it that way. Because joy is mostly in your mind. That's the lesson of Philippians. Hey, in the book of Philippians, it says, be joyful 19 times. Now, if you're looking at your sheet, it says it. But you're not supposed to be looking at your sheet. It says 19 times. But then it says, think or remember has something to do with your mind 16 times. So, part of the way we get joy over circumstances, people, things, worry, is by our mind. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, Philippians, that's awesome. All right, let me ask you this. A hymn book. It's the first one I heard. I'm telling you, this is like Jeopardy up here. Okay, let's see if I got one more. I'm running out of pride. Oh, I got one more. Okay, here we go. An alarm clock. Matt, you're amazing. Okay, a missionary map. Man, Coley's getting... Okay, that's good. Now, folks, look, I just want you to know, I have really... You know, it's funny when I say I've learned so much and I'm blessed by this. Y'all are saying, yeah, we hadn't heard anything, learned anything. I just have been encouraged coming up with these object lessons and thinking about the big picture of these books of the Bible. I mean, it helps you to understand. If somebody said, boy, I really need joy... I mean, I might not know exact chapter and verse, but I know what book of the Bible to go to. If somebody says, I want to praise the Lord, I know what book of the Bible to go to, right? If somebody says, boy, I tell you, I wonder if, you know, don't you just weep for the people? What book would you go to? And what other one? Jeremiah. He was the weeping prophet. Sorry, I ran out of candy. Okay, but my point is, I'm hoping we won't get to every book, okay? We won't make it. I can tell you we're not going to make it. But we're going to get to a lot of them, and I'm hoping that this will help you. All right, the book of Judges. I want you to look at Judges chapter 17, Judges chapter 17, verse 6. This is the key verse. When you think about Judges, you think about the repetition of people getting away from God. Now, before we all get on our high horse about how bad these people were, may I make a suggestion that you and I are a lot like Israel. Before we get on our high horse, we're a lot like Israel. Look at 17:6. It says this: in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That is a verse. If you were going to memorize one to remember the book of Judges, it would be that. This is during a period of history from 1361 to 1059 BC. Okay? And really, it's number one, the events take place between Joshua and Samuel. This is when God's people had been delivered from Egypt, and they are in the promised land. They have crossed over the Jordan, and there's all kinds of enemies there. By the way, who were the two people that said, we can take that country? Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. I love the name Joshua, and I love the name Caleb. Caleb, I love that name. You know, Caleb said, I want that mountain. The mountain that the Lord has given me. I love, Caleb said, you know what? The rest of the report came in and they said, oh, we can't come. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua and Caleb said, I know we're like grasshoppers, but with the mighty hand of God, we can go in and take that land. And that, what a great spirit. And I tell you what, they went in. They went in. The others didn't because they had unbelief. And so, but the period of time, once God's people got into the promised land, there were all kind of battles they had to face with different enemies that went against God's people, the Hebrew people, Israel. And so these were battles that took place. But here's what happened. It was a repetition of what I'm about to show you right here in number two. Man, I'm giving away all my blanks in one sentence here. All right, here's the first one. Sin. They compromised with the gods of their enemies. And so as a result of that, God brought judgment. That's the first blank there in number two. God brought judgment.
Oh, Lord, we're in trouble. Help us, help us, help us.
The next thing was cries for help. Then the last thing was deliverance. So I want you to look back at Judges chapter 2, and I want to read this. This is a great summary of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 23 says this: nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Now, the book of Judges comes from the name of these deliverers. These deliverers were ones that God raised up. Guys like Gideon. How do you like this name? I love this name. Ehud. Man, what a name. Othniel. Man, that'd make a great middle name. That sounds like a great middle name. You know, Ehud, Othniel, Shamgar. We're going to talk a little bit about Shamgar. Samson. You know the story of Samson? That's in Judges, okay? So the Lord raised up these judges. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Verse 17. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot. Boy, that's a phrase we could dig into right there. They played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. And folks, our lesson is, as God's people in the New Testament times, we don't want to let the gods of this old world sneak into our life and where we are actually worshiping the gods of this world. That's what they did. They played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. Verse 18, and when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers, by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Does that sound familiar? Verse 20, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers and has not heeded my voice. I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, verse 22, so that through them I may test Israel whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. So this is a picture of what happened. It was a repetitive cycle. I want to get that in your brain. Judges is a book about repetition. It's a repetition of sin. Judgment comes from God. The people can't take it and they cry out to God. And then what does God do? He sends a judge and gives them deliverance. Now here's one principle that we see. Number three, we see God's faithfulness in forgiving his people. Aren't you so grateful for that? As bad as we want to talk about, these people in Israel and the way they were, it's really a picture of me. It's a picture of you. We don't follow wholly, fully, the things of the Lord all the time, and we end up wavering, and the Lord in his love pulls us back. It's a great picture of God's faithfulness in forgiving his people. Now, I want you to go backwards a little bit from what we just read and look at verses 6 through 10. And this is number 4, Joshua 2, 6 through 10. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. They had assignments of where they were to possess the land. Verse 7, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah. By the way, Southwestern Seminary has a dig at Timnah. I love it. I got to go there. To Timnah Heres, which is a place there where he was buried, in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. Verse 10. Now I want you to see this. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, what does that mean? That means they all had died. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which we had done for Israel. Notice that it said, as long as Joshua was alive, as long as the elders that had seen the works of God were alive, they stayed straight, following the Lord. But when that generation died off, there was a generation raised up who knew not God. Chuck Colson used to say, we're just one generation from Christianity going away. We must transfer the gospel to these rows right here. This is our priority. I love you people. But this is our priority. This is our priority. I ain't talking about you either. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. But the point is, we've got to transfer the gospel. So we must transfer the truth to the next generation. By the way, there's a verse of scripture in Psalm. I didn't write this down. And I've got to find this, but it just hit me. I heard a message. A guy preached on this one verse of scripture. We have seen with our ears, our fathers have told us. No, excuse me, not seen with our ears. We have heard with our ears. You hear with your ears, right? Okay. We have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, is a psalm somewhere. And what it is, it's a testimony of the works of God. And the message that I heard, I've never forgotten that truth, is that we don't want to just hear about what God has done. We want to see it. North Central Baptist, we have a responsibility to let this generation see the hand of God with their own eyes in our lives. and in the life of our church. We don't have time to fool around here and just have meetings. No, we need God to transform lives. We need Jesus to come in and take over. And these kids need to one day say, man, I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm a flight attendant. I'm in Portland, Oregon. It's hard to find a church out here, but I tell you one thing. When I was a kid, I was in a church where Jesus moved and changed lives. And I'm looking for another church where Jesus moves and changes lives. We have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And fathers need to tell their sons about what Jesus has done in them, and their daughters about what Jesus has done in them. But we want to see it with our eyes. Amen? Okay, so this is a challenge of Judges, because when that generation died off, it went south. It just went, they quit following the Lord. Okay? Now, look in your, this is not on the sheet. I just want to do this real quick. Look at chapter 3. And verse 7. Here are all the judges in the book of Judges, all right? You got Othniel, okay, in chapter 3, verse 7, okay? So there's Othniel. And then you got Ehud in chapter 12. By the way, let's just read the one on Othniel. It says in chapter 3, verse 7, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is Judges 3, 7. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. That's one of the enemies, and all of them are different. There's different ones. There's the Philistines and the Midianites and different ones for different judges, but this happens to be the people of Mesopotamia, all right? And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. In other words, God's people were serving the foreign god of Mesopotamia. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Oh, how about Othniel being Caleb's brother? How'd you like to be raised in Caleb's house, man? You just even hinted that Jesus or God couldn't do something, man. Caleb's like, boy, you better know the Lord can deliver. He brought us here, didn't he? I can tell you about Moses coming off a mountain. He had the glow of God on his face. And Caleb told, it's kind of neat that Othniel is the first judge. He was Caleb's younger brother. That's amazing. But anyway, so you got Othniel, you got Ehud, number two. Number three, you got Shamgar. That's in chapter 3, verse 31. Then you've got Deborah and Barak, all right? Look at, this is chapter 4, verses 9 and following. You got Deborah and Barak. We don't have time to go into all the countries, all the enemies of God that harassed God's people, but Deborah and Barak were the deliverers, the judges. All right, you go from there. Chapter 6 is Gideon. And by the way, boy, Gideon was amazing. You know, Gideon had 10,000 to help him at one time, and God said, you got too many. And he said, I want you to take them down to the water. And he said, if they get down like this on all fours and go, he said, call them out. But he said, if they lean down like this and they keep their eyes open like this and they put their hand down like this and they go, that's who you want. There's only 300 of them that drank like that. You guys are drinkers like this because your eyes are open and you're watching what God's doing, kids. You're watching what God's doing and you're looking out for Satan's attacks. You're part of Gideon's minority, Gideon's small group. And so anyway, God used Gideon. That's in chapter 6, okay? And then you go to, by the way, that part about the water, them drinking that way is in Judges 7, verses 4 through 6. You can read that later. And then you go over here to, by the way, look at chapter 8, verse 33. After Gideon had done all that he did, remember they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers? You know what? God used 300, and the enemy just got so confused. Do you know God can confuse your enemies? They just were all over the place. They were killing each other. It's amazing. But in verse 33 of chapter 8, it says, "So it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals." They just kept going back and going the wrong direction. Okay? All right, so you go down there, and then you get to Jephthah in chapter 10, verse 6. That's Jephthah. And it goes on all the way to chapter 12, and then all the way through chapter 12, and then chapter 13 and 14 and 15, you get into Samson. Man, I love that story about Samson. Samson and his strength. So you go into all those judges at that point, okay? Now, real quickly, let me say this. Number five, we learn that one person can make a difference. Real quickly, look at Judges chapter 3, verse 31. I love this. And I've done a whole series on Shamgar. I love the story of Shamgar. Chapter 3, verse 31. After him, Moab was the enemy at that point. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the hand had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Three things about Shamgar, just this is not on the sheet, but just think about. Here's the principle. Start where you are. He was a farmer. I love this. Use what you have. I love that. You know, Shamgar didn't say, "Well, I'm not militarily trained. I don't have a..." But you know what he had? He had a hoe that had a point on the end of it. It's called an ox goad. You could kind of move the oxen along, and you take that point and stick them. And he had that. Well, he must have been... You ever seen those... He must have been amazing with that ox goad. He killed all those people with an ox goad. 600 men of the Philistines. The Philistines were his enemy. I'm sorry, not Moab. The Philistines. He killed 600 men with an ox goad. So here's the principle. Start where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. I love that. God will bless you. So God can use one person. You say, "Well, man, it's just this whole world's going, you know, going to Hades on a jet ski. I mean, everything's just so fast, I can't keep up with it." Well, do what you can. Pour into one. Share Jesus at work. Share Jesus at the grocery store. Share Jesus everywhere you go. Do what you can. Use what you have. I love that. I've said this a couple times, but every time I think about that principle, I think about Ken Miedema coming to North Central. Y'all remember Ken Miedema? Ken Miedema was blind, and he played the piano, and he had this voice. Michael, where are you? You in here? He's back here. Michael, you know Ken Miedema. He's probably an old guy now. And I thought he was, I don't know. He's probably an older guy now. But the point is, when I was in college, he came to North Central. I'm not going to go to that old thing. I get in trouble when I start talking about that. Anyway, so he was playing the piano up on the stage at North Central, and he did that song about Moses and God calling Moses to go to take the people out of Egypt. And he was singing like a story. And he said, "Go deliver my people, Moses." That was, and he was singing it like that, like it was God's voice. And he says, "But I'm just a man." He said, "I only have a staff." He said, "Throw it down, Moses." And I just remember that song. All Moses said he had was a staff, and God used that staff. God touched a rock with that thing. God separated the Red Sea with that thing. So you take what you have and do what you can with it, okay? All right. Now, I've gone through all of them. We just don't have time to go through them, okay? You're going to have to do that on your own. But the big picture is this repetition. You know what it is, right? Sin. What's the second one? Judgment. Cries for help. Deliverance. It's just over and over again. And all those judges the Lord uses. Now, I want you to go to chapter 16 because you can't talk about judges without talking about Samson a little bit. Samson in verses 21, excuse me, change that to 20 and following. 20 through 22. This is number 6 on your sheet, chapter 16, verse 20. Well, I need to go back, it seems like. Let me just say this. Samson told his mom and dad, I met a girl, and I want you to go get her for me. And they said, that's not the Lord's will for you. And he said, I don't care what you think, you get her for me. Well, I tell you what, that is a dangerous thing to do. And so she was used by the Philistines, and she lulled him to sleep, and she kept saying, oh, tell us the secret of your great strength. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what, if you'll tie me up with intestines, entrails, it talks about it. Then it'll hold me down. And so they did it to him. She lulled him to sleep, and they did it to him, and he broke them, and he killed all the people and defeated the Philistines. And she said, oh, you don't really love me. You're not telling me the truth. And he said, okay, if you'll put my hair in a weaver's beam. He was telling her all this stuff, but the more she lulled him, the closer he got to the answer. You see, the last one he said was, you do something with my hair. It wasn't the real answer. What was the real answer? Cut it. So anyway, bottom line is, in verse 19, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. And then this is the saddest phrase in the Bible to me. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He said, I'm just going to go out and do like I've always done. And he couldn't do it because he had given away that secret. He sinned by linking his life to someone that God was not pleased with, that God did not want him to link his life with, that was outside of the will of God for his life, and he sinned by telling his secret. And so here's what I want you to remember in verse 21, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Here's the way I remember this. Number 6, Samson teaches us that sin blinds, binds, and grinds. Sin will blind you of the truth. Sin will bind you. And then you will ruin your testimony for God by grinding in the mill. Sin blinds, binds, and grinds. Now, what's the main message of Judges? She just said it. That's the seventh blank. That sounds like a broken record. So the object lesson is a broken record. Now, these young people don't even know what a record is, so y'all got to help them, okay? But, you know, if you had a record that was all scratched up, you put it on your player and it would go, na 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 na. And somebody said, that sounds like a broken record. It means it's just repetitive. So when you think of judges, you think of a broken record. Over and over again, the people sin, God brings judgment, they cry for help, and then God brings deliverance. And there's so many other lessons that are there. Let's bow our heads and hearts for prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.